This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This episode was recorded for my UK column show. Please keep us independent by going to support.ukcolumn.org.
This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
James Roguski, Roguski, thank you for joining me in the trenches. I like Roguski. It reminds me of Top Gun, Mavericks. Maverick's friend, Goose.
There you go.
Do you consider yourself a Maverick?
Probably. I consider myself... just seeking the truth. When I turned, I think it was 62, I'm 65 years old now, but a couple of years ago at my birthday, somebody asked me, what do you do and how did you get into it? And they also asked me what my zodiac sign was. So I'm born in the end of April, and so I'm born under the sign of Taurus the Bull. And it wasn't until I was 60-some years old that I realized that I'm perfectly suited for what I do, which is whenever I step in some bullshit, I point it out. And there's a lot of it going around these days. And most of it is coming from our governments. And, that's seems to be the theme. If you read something from your government, it's probably manipulative. It's probably a lie. It's probably something that someone who has some lobbying influence over government has gotten government to do their bidding. And, the concept of the will of the people being done by the people that we hire to work for us, to participate in government, have we lost sight of that? It's a mess. It's an enormous mess. And I'm not going to pretend to say that I know the answer, because it is such a deep mess and the corruption is so deep and so much of our lives is influenced by it. We have a problem, and many people understand that, and they're working very hard to try to find a solution to it. I don't think the solution is more government. I think the solution is hard. It's going to be very, very difficult to find, and it's going to require some dramatic, horrific changes. I'm not necessarily advocating, burning it all down and starting over, but I used to work in construction. And sometimes what you need to do is realize that the building is decrepit and it needs to be torn down. And you don't want to get caught in, the crumbling of the structure falling on top of you. But sometimes you need to tear it all down and start over. And we're pretty darn close to that place right now, all around the world, regardless of where you may be.
So are you suggesting revolution rather than evolution?
Revolution just means going around in circles and coming back to where you were. So we need a better word. We certainly need change. We need to look at the systems that are in place, whether it's health, which has, been mostly my focus. Public health is a joke. That's probably mostly what I want to talk about with you. But personal health, money, communications, industry, business, work, every aspect of our life, we need to be able to reevaluate it And, you know, one of the things that people don't use this word very often, but a social contract, you know, amongst each other, how do we agree to live with each other? And so, you know, if you're talking about money and all of the concerns about, you know, global digital currencies, you know, central bank digital currencies, you know, programmed money. Oh, it must have been in the late 40s or early 50s. I could just imagine, you know, somebody sitting in a bar had the flash of an idea and said, hey, I got this great idea. Let's make little pieces of plastic and we'll get people to use that for money. And we'll skim 2, 3, 4, 5% off the top. And, you know, if you said that in a bar, you know, 70, 80 years ago, people would think you're drunk and you're crazy. Nobody's ever going to go for that. That's insane. But look at our universe right now. You know, the banks and the holders of, you know, credit cards create money. Every time you use one of those credit cards, they create money out of nowhere, you know, to skim off the top. And the vast majority of people have no comprehension whatsoever about what a racket, you know, money is. And it's all digital. It's just not yet programmable. But it's pretty darn close to that. And, you know, most people have been using digital money for their whole life. You know, what percentage, you know, everybody in the audience, ask yourself, you know, what percentage of all of the transactions that you've ever made in your life were done with physical money, right? Very little of it. And so, that whole system is corrupt, and it has been for our entire life. And we're just going along because nobody's come up with a better idea. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm saying, you know, you can certainly see the problem. And so with our health, it's probably the thing that I spent most of my life, you know, dealing with. I've been blessed. I've been lucky. I think I've been smart and intelligent about it. But I'm 65. I'm healthy. And you couldn't pay me to go to a medical doctor. I haven't been to one since I was 19. And you couldn't pay me to take an aspirin. You couldn't pay me to take a pharmaceutical medication because I understand their system. Their system is not designed to make you healthy. Their system is designed to poison you slowly under the belief that swallowing a poison will change the symptoms of, you know, warning signs of whatever it is you may be dealing with. And, you know, the latest thing with, you know, the COVID-19 jabs and all of the things associated with it is just the quintessential example of industry lying with the help of government. And that is the definition of fascism, when corporations and governments work together to take advantage of, you know, everyday people. You know, I think the entire world has become a corporate government collusion, you know, fascism around the world. And we, the people, are you know, just casualties of war at this point.
What is the purpose of a doctor?
Well, it's supposed to be a teacher, okay? It's supposed to be someone who has knowledge and wisdom and experience. And in my view, okay, which is different than I think what is going on in the world, and that wasn't the question I thought you were going to ask me, was to, you know, to help people comprehend and identify the cause and the source of their problem. Now, there's always an exception to every rule, but I could almost guarantee you that the source of anybody's health problem is not a chronic deficiency of a pharmaceutical medication. That's just not what it is. And so, you know, if you use your car as an example, if the red light goes off on the dashboard and there's something wrong with your car, if you went to the mechanic and asked them, you know, could you fix the light on my car? That's analogous to, you know, having symptoms, right? You know, the classic symptoms people call a cold, sneezing, coughing, teary eyes, runny nose, fever, you know, maybe diarrhea and sweating. And you know, these are attempts of your body to get rid of something. And people look at that and they don't ask, well, what have I been doing that my body's trying to get rid of something, right? Let me help my body get rid of it, and then you're done. No, they suppress those symptoms, whether it's the symptoms of the cold or a flu or an allergy or whatever it may be, toxic poisoning. And so drugs just suppress the lights on the dashboard. If you're not feeling well, your doctor should ask you 1,000 questions and you know, find out from you, what is it that you've been doing or not doing? What's in your environment? What's in your mind? What's in your psyche? What's going on with you as an individual? And you have to make those changes. Well, that's not their model. Their model is to talk to you for 5 minutes, identify your symptoms, identify an ICD-10 code, international classification of disease, run by the WHO. Oh, let's put you in a box. Let's redefine you as, having this ailment. And then they can follow a protocol. I was reading Dr. Brian Artis's book today. Yesterday. And in the beginning, he talks about his losing his stepfather. He died in the hospital because they followed protocol. They ignored what they were looking at. They made a misdiagnosis, which is where everything starts. I joke that I was born with a terminal illness. It's called James Roguski syndrome. I've been managing it for 65 years. It's chronic. Eventually, it'll probably get me, right? But at the moment, I'm handling it pretty well. If anybody were to ever try to label me as being a cancer patient or a heart patient or diabetic or this or that or the other thing, they're not paying attention to you as an individual. And so if your doctor is paying attention to you, and trying to help you figure out why you have whatever dis-ease you have, then maybe that doctor is worth keeping. If they're just diagnosing you, which means two people don't know, die to a not, gnosis to know, when you're diagnosed, it's just so that they can put in a form to get paid and follow a protocol that doesn't have anything to do with you. It's got everything to do with what drug companies say is going to hide your symptoms. And so are there any doctors out there? There's maybe a few, but not in the medical pharmaceutical profession, that's for sure.
Well, let me zoom out. What is the purpose of the WHO?
Well, their stated purpose is to guarantee the right of health to everybody. And, health and health care are not rights. They are different. You are supposed to have the right to make your own decisions. So the right to decide whatever it is you do to care for your own health is not your right. It's also your responsibility. What the WHO has morphed into, especially in the last 20, 25 years or so, is a cartel, or really the marketing arm of the pharmaceutical cartel. I woke up one morning and I had been, reporting on the WHO, and the director general of the WHO through the international health regulations has the authority to make a declaration. For whatever reason, when he decides he wants to, he can declare a fake, a public health emergency of international concern. Hey, there's something going on in some corner of the world, everybody should be afraid. Well, that acronym, PHEIC, I woke up one morning and what I heard inside my head was the Pharmaceutical Hospital Emergency Industrial Complex. And so they basically are promoters for Big Pharma. You know, because we've talked about it a number of times, I've reported on their negotiations for amendments to the international health regulations, and now they're in the middle still to this day, despite what people have reported, they're still trying to finish the negotiations for the pandemic agreement. And in the interim agreements that they have so far, they've agreed that pandemic emergency products are only pharmaceuticals. Drugs, devices, vaccines and also cell and gene-based therapies, not to mention all of the diagnostics, which are fraudulent. So if they can get people to take a test and believe...
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
If that they have an ailment that another poison is the treatment for, it's really great for business. And so what they're negotiating is a system by which, I kid you not, what they have on the table right now are sample contracts that nations would sign with corporations with the WHO as a signatory, middleman, if they find a pathogen or if they create one in a computer or if artificial intelligence creates a genetic sequence that they claim would be pathogenic, they want companies to sign contracts to share the profits. So, what they're really negotiating with the pandemic agreement is a cartel, that I call the Organization of Pandemic Emergency Corporations. They are being fascist. They want government to work with industry to take advantage of we the people. And, this is the theme. People use words like, fascism and socialism and communism and capitalism and all that sort of thing. The core definition of fascism isn't about left wing, right wing. You can be a left wing fascist, a right wing fascist. You could be all kinds of things. When you see government supporting corporations at the expense of people, call it whatever you want to call it, that is where we are right now in the world. And it's horrible. And if government and the people in government are going to continue to support corporations rather than support the freedoms and rights of people, there's going to be problems. People are ultimately either going to become sheep and just give in and submit to the authority of your government, and we're going to live in 1984, or we're going to stand up and defend our rights and freedoms as men, women, and children. And it's not going to be easy, because if you look at your life, right now, we're communicating through a system that's owned by a corporation. Okay, now there's a lot of movements, to have more responsible corporations, cooperative structure behind that system. But what we're dealing with, is not designed to support individual rights, freedoms, and choice. It's designed to turn a profit off the expense of people. And until that changes, we're going to continue having problems.
You also referred to it as a global power grab.
I don't know that maybe I have used that term in the past, but while that is the case, I think that they've already got the power. They've already got the structure. And if you look at it from a much, you said earlier, like take a step back and look at a bigger picture. Let's take a really big step back and look at an even bigger picture. Whatever your belief may be, if you believe, in some type of creator, call it God, call it whatever you want to call it, bring that down a notch. And if you create something, it's yours. You have control of it. If you write a book, if you create some kind of artwork, you know, whatever. Whoever creates something should never be controlled by the thing that you have created. Okay? I don't have children, you know, but people get together, they have children, and, you know, at the age of 18, you set the child free in most societies. I guess many times, you know, children could try to, you know, control over their parents, but essentially what we have done is put ourselves in the position of being controlled by our own creations. If God created men, women, and children, and we created government, we've allowed government to then create corporations, and then corporations create this scenario where we submit ourselves to their authority by signing some kind of an agreement with them, and we put ourselves under the corporation as a subject, as a customer, as a user, as, you know, whatever terminology they might have. If it's a social media company, when you sign your agreement with them, you subject yourself to that agreement and you give up all of your rights. Maybe unknowingly, but, you know, well, you want the benefits of doing business with that company, whatever it may be, or working for that company, and you give up your rights that you have as not just the creator of that corporation, but the creator of the government that created that corporation. And so when you allow yourself to be made subservient to something that is supposed to serve you, government is supposed to serve people. Corporations are supposed to serve people through the creation in government. But somehow it's been turned around. And if you really want to get deep, here's a thought for you. What if the quote unquote Antichrist is actually the system that connects all of this? So if you could visualize, let's start with the United Nations. Okay, I'm not saying they're necessarily at the top of it, but they're pretty close up there. The United Nations is connected to all of its member nations, and through subsidiaries like the WHO, you know, many nations are connected through there. All of those nations, if you could just envision the organogram, you know, the chart of the organization, look at the United Nations with all of the 193, I think it is, countries that are members. But then look at all of the governments that each of those countries have. Take any nation, maybe they're divided into provinces or states or whatever term they may have, subsidiary units, okay? Then you take it down in the United States to the county and the city, you know, on the local level. Then off of each one of those government entities that have the authority to create corporations, on your organization chart, put, you know, all of the corporations that are created by that government. Look at all of the nonprofits, look at all the foundations, okay? Then look at all of the public schools. Look at everything that the government licenses. And you'll realize that the mark of, not the mark of the beast, but the actual beast system is already in place. How many people never deal with that enormous beast? How many people are, you know, out in the woods, living freely, self-sufficient, taking care of themselves? Everybody, just about, on every day of their life, interacts with the beast. And that beast is the system that we've created. And, you know, no one government official, no prime minister, no president, no pope, you know, forgot about churches and religion, you know, add all of that in there too, right? That system should be seen as anti-freedom. And so, you know, if the Christos, if Christ is, you know, the bit of divinity that's inside of you, the Antichrist is the system that controls you or attempts to. And so we deal every day with a system that is a beast. And who among us thinks that they have the power to slay that beast? You're lucky if you can hide from it now. It's got cameras everywhere. And so people are looking for, you know, who's going to be born in the world and is going to be called the Antichrist. We've birthed the Antichrist for generations. It's the system that controls you. A lot of times, you know, people will say, they, right? You know, they are doing this to you. They are doing that to you. Well, who is they? You know, they, somebody told me, a friend of mine, you know, it's an acronym for the hierarchy enslaving you. That is the beast system. And until we understand that, whether it's the, you know, South African or UK or Australian or Canadian or United States or Ukrainian or Russian government, it is the system. You know, it used to be in the 60s, people would refer to it as the man. Okay. Well, maybe that's, you know, sexist because women are part of that system as well. But the government, religious, corporate, banking, money system, the system is what is ruining our individual lives. Then you take artificial intelligence and put it on top of that. And, you know, global bank, central bank digital currencies and everything like that. It's just an adjunct to the system that we've been living under our entire life. You know, call it the Matrix if you want, okay? But it's a beast, and we need to slay it. And it's not going to be easy because we've all come to depend on it. How? You first have to understand that that is what the problem is, okay? You're not going to elect new people to take a position and change the system. You know, the system is the problem, okay? The corporate, banking, education, religious, government system on every level. Once you become aware that that is the matrix, that is the beast, that is the system that is controlling your life, and you step up and you say, no, maybe not you, because I'm, you know, the United States is about to celebrate its 250th, you know, birthday next year. I wasn't around 250 years ago, so I didn't create it. But, you know, proverbially, we, the people, created our government. It needs to be dissolved. It needs to be rethought. It needs to be reworked. It needs to be, I don't want to say burnt down, okay, because that implies violence, and ideally we can do this in a way that is not violent. And unfortunately, what typically happens in violent revolutions is they just put back a different version of the same damn thing. Okay? What we need is to recognize the spark of divinity within each of us and respect it. And you know, it's different systems for interacting. Do we need corporations? Should corporations be given the rights of people and rights that are more than the rights that people enjoy? Well, hell no. Okay. You know, are cooperatives a little bit of a step in a better direction? Maybe. Okay. With religion, you know, whatever belief you may have, understand that belief is what you do when you don't know. So if you believe that somebody in an organized religion can lead you to God, well, that's a totally different thing than is taught in many religions, which is you need to find God and that inside of you. And so if you believe that nonprofit organizations, bringing this back to the WHO in these negotiations, there are 400 relevant stakeholders who are participating in negotiations that the vast majority of the world's population has no idea are even happening. Well, these 400 organizations have gotten language put in place in both the financial aspect of the International Health Regulation amendments. So that's over and done. They got that put in place. And in the pandemic agreement, it's just awaiting the final negotiations. The same language is in there that money is put aside for any organizations that help with what has been negotiated in these agreements. Well, the reason they want the pandemic agreement to go through is because they're going to be on the receiving end of a lot of the money that's going to flow through this cartel. And so, you know, is it right that corporations and relevant stakeholders are involved in these negotiations, and we, the people, have no say whatsoever. We're not even allowed to watch. This is the problem. Our creations have taken control of our lives, and we need to assert.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Our right and responsibility as the creator of government, which then charters corporations or nonprofits or religions or whatever, we have to stand above it and understand our place and not subjugate ourselves by, you know, signing contracts that give away our rights and freedoms for some, you know, benefit, whether it's a government benefit or, you know, some type of service from a corporation or whatever it might be.
Okay, but then again, how?
How do we do it? Well, you have to recognize the problem, okay? So
let me be more specific. Okay, so we recognize the problem. Good. All right, now what?
I'm not pretending to be able to offer an answer for the entire thing. What I am saying is we need to start working on what I would call a new social contract. How do we want to deal with each other in a way that is different than government?
What you're kind of alluding to then is kind of building communities and parallel networks and that kind of thing, which is the sort of thing that we've been talking about for years.
If you could envision, certainly in the United States, whenever we seem to have some type of natural disaster, a flood, a hurricane, a tornado, earthquake, whatever it may be, the government agencies who are supposed to be there during the emergencies get in the way. They literally stop people from helping. Where, you know, people who have survived the tragedy, you know, they get their trucks, they get their boats, you know, they get whatever it is they need to do. You know, they donate money and supplies and they go into harm's way, you know, to get people out of danger. Okay. We rely on each other because when it's most needed, government fails. And ultimately there is an unspoken bond amongst people where, hey, these, you may not even know them, but you're able to help. You're in a situation where you're right there and you can help, so you do. And I think the vast majority of people, you know, have that goodness in their heart, and they would certainly do that. Some people may try to take advantage of it, but the government just gets in the way. Okay? And so there was another word that you said that had me triggered off on another idea. Now I think I forgot what it was where you had mentioned something. But the point is...
I said parallel systems and networks.
Thank you. And so do we need government, you know, mind control, or do we need cooperation? Do we need a looser network where it's not that we hire and choose a representative to tell us what to do? That's not how government is supposed to be. It has morphed into that. And as long as people view government as that which controls your mind, okay, if we're even talking about government, we're barking up the wrong tree. Okay. We need, you know, a different type of organized social contract. And so, you know, it's one of the things that, I'm working on, you know, a new socialcontract.com. I'll give you the link. You can put it in the thing. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm saying that in each and every aspect of existence, whether it's money or health or, you know, education, communications, transportation, there are new methods that are available to us as technology and innovation comes forth. There's new things that we have to deal with that, you know, the people who created our government 250 years ago had no idea these things were going to come up. We need new ways to organize our society. You know, maybe where computers and artificial intelligence and robotics do a lot of the hard work, but they, if they are our creations, they have to be under our control, not under the control of an oligarch who owns a company, who got a government grant to do some research, you know, to create some type of software or, you know, robotics that then makes them, you know, gobs and gobs of money while everyone else is unemployed and, you know, begging just for survival. We need an entirely new and different organizational structure. And it's not government, and it's not corporations, and it's not religions. What might it be? Well, we have to put our heads together. We have to have those discussions. And you know me, I'll do it right now. I always give people my phone number. If this is a topic that you want to discuss, give me a phone call. I'm in California, so you may have to do a country code to, you know, United States. But my phone number in California is 310-619-3055. You know, put it in the notes for the description of the video. I'm not saying I have the answer, but I'm saying that I can identify that we're not going to find the answer in government and corporations and religions and nonprofits and all of the structures that we have. Those structures have become the proverbial, you know, beast that is controlling our lives. And none of us really are able to live freely as long as that beast survives. We need to slay it. We need to create a new system that respects our rights and is of benefit to each and every one of us, while giving every person the freedom to live their lives the way their spirit inside tells them to live.
You talk about creating the system, and I'm just wondering, James, if some of it is by design, some of it's by emergence.
By emergence, can you explain what you mean by emergence? Do you mean by emergency, by necessity, or just...
No. Sure, it came to be organically.
Well, you know, is there a large mind behind the beast system that has put ideas into people so that we think we've built it, but it's been built by a greater intelligence than each and every one of us? So, you know, you're really getting into some esoteric stuff that I'd love to talk about. I'll ask you and your audience a question that I think opens up some curiosity. Where do you believe ideas come from? Do you own your idea? Did it come from you? Did you create it? Or is it an idea that is coming through you? You've tapped into it, and maybe it was thought by somebody else. I've had many experiences in life where an idea comes in, and after the fact, you recognize that, well, you know, many people around the world have that idea. You're not the first one to have that idea, okay? You might be the first one who voices it, okay? But where do ideas come from? And how do you know that what seems to be a good idea is actually a very well-crafted psychological operation that gets you to do the bidding of the thinker of that idea, and you do something that you believe is good and righteous and just and wonderful, and it's going to help society, but it's all part of a much more sophisticated thought that you look at it after the fact and you go, oh, crap, I thought I was doing something good, and look how it's been perverted into something very, very bad. And so, man, you know, we could talk for days about, you know, who is the thinker of the ideas that you adopt and what ideas might be accepted, but then the idea follows right behind it and says, oh, that's going to be too hard. You're going to face too much resistance. You can't do that. Nobody's going to want to do that. You know, people like the comfort of the current system. When you ask yourself, with every single idea that you recognize that you are thinking, that is in your space of consciousness, is that my idea? Or did it come from somewhere? You know, is there a realm, you know, like we know about, you know, cell phones, okay? You know that there's some kind of energy that comes out of here and some other cell phone can tune into it. You know, people know you can tune a radio or tune a television or whatever. You get into the frequency and, you know, I've had that experience with loved ones where you know what they're thinking before they say it. I've had numerous experiences with friends and stuff where I've said something and their response was, oh my God, I was thinking the same thing. Okay, well, was that just coincidence? Or is thought something that, you know, Neuralink can tap into and control? You know, do we want to let companies put sensors in our brains or in our bloodstream and tap into our thoughts and put thoughts into our minds? Do we want to allow that to happen? Or do we want to realize that we can have better, more, I'll take that back. We can choose to focus on better, more creative, more fair, universal, just ideas to build a better system. That when you build the better mousetrap, when you build the better system, you know, if you could build a better currency, okay, that people trust more than they trust the dollar or the pound or Bitcoin or whatever, people will flock to it. So what we need are people that have better ideas, creative ideas. Where those ideas come from, you have to be careful, because any good idea can be used for bad. But whether it's, you know, new ideas of how to educate children, do you want to continue to teach people from, you know, young age, young children, to be slaves in a system where they go to school for 12 plus years, to just be bludgeoned into submission, and only the ones who submit and obey and follow the rules and become good slaves for the corporation or government? Is that what we want to continue to do to our children? There are systems out there where people are educating children in a very different way, and you come out with a very different adult. You come out with somebody who's creative and self-sufficient and is not preyed upon by the systems that they've been programmed to obey. And so whether it's education or religion or communications or transportation or whatever, are we headed towards a Mad Max, you know, 1984 dystopian society? Are we headed for, you know, a Star Trek future where, you know, money is a thing of the past and people have their needs, and so they live their lives with a creative purpose as the main focus rather than just survival and competition? Do we want to cooperate rather than compete all the time? And do we, you know, people don't even understand the darn meaning of the word capitalism. Capital is the means of production. You know, do you want someone else to own all of the means of production so you have to work in their factory or their sweatshop or their, you know, building software using AI, you know, working for somebody else to profit from it? Or, you know, do we need a different system? Anybody who is pro-capital is anti-human. And I'm not an advocate for communism or socialism or fascism or any of the isms. We need new ideas to have a new system that maybe hasn't been defined yet, so it doesn't have a name. And if anybody wants to talk about that, boy, that would be spectacular.
James,
we've got your speeches there for a moment. No, don't play devil's advocate. I refuse to advocate for the devil. You can take the other side of the discussion and challenge my ideas, but don't advocate for that guy. I don't support that.
You're suggesting that new ideas is what are needed, is what is needed. What is the correct language here?
New ideas. We need some new ideas. How about that?
Yes. Okay. You're suggesting we need some new ideas. Could it also be argued that some old ideas are great and also could be readopted? I think of, for example, my grandparents. You know, they had wisdom that I don't think I have. And perhaps their grandparents had wisdom that was lost, you know, and so on.
I will certainly go down that path and agree that there are many ideas that have been lost and need to be re-recognized, I guess. You know, one of them, I can turn and go outside in my yard. I've spoken of this maybe not with you, but with other people numerous times. I live in the Los Angeles area. We have a very small, not a tiny home, but a very small home. It's only about 1,000 square feet. Our yard is only about 1,000 square feet. That's pretty small for a yard, okay? I think I have 16 or 17 fruit trees that grow in my little yard. It's a jungle, okay? All of the greenery that grows beneath those trees are what most people would call edible weeds. Things like stinging nettle and mallow and dock and dandelion and nasturtium and lamb's quarters, and you know, people who are into, you know, gardening and foraging will understand. Most people would pull those out of their yard and treat them as weeds, but they're edible. So every day I go out into the yard and either pick some fruit or you know, some vegetation, make a salad. I'm not saying you need to be vegan. You know, maybe that's the ultimate. I don't have chickens. I don't have other animals. We don't have space for any of that. But that's old school. That's Garden of Eden. I got a little Garden of Eden stuff out there. Why in the world would you hire a gardener to mow your grass every day, like my neighbors, every week, like my neighbors do, to just throw all of that greenery away? You know, put whatever weeds and stuff you have in the compost pile and make food for your food. Okay? Well, that's an old idea. And I think the trigger that started me down that path was I watched a video a couple of decades ago of a father whose child came home with a handful of sunflower seeds. And the project was to grow some sunflowers. Well, if you've ever grown sunflowers, you plant a couple of seeds, you get a couple of sunflowers, you get a couple of thousand seeds. And so when you work with Mother Nature, you know, the plants that grow in my yard, they drop, I don't want to overstate it, certainly hundreds of thousands, probably millions of seeds. So I don't need to buy seeds. Mother Nature provides. So that's, you know, a simple old idea. You know, frugality is an old idea. Waste not, want not, okay? One of the things that I've done as, you know, one of the many things I've done in my life is during COVID, when everybody started leaving Los Angeles, people would leave beautiful antique furniture on the side of the road as trash because they had to fit it into a truck to leave. So we spent a couple of years just, you know, picking up old furniture, polishing it up, fixing it up. I have those carpentry skills, and reselling it as better than you could possibly buy in any store. They don't make them like they used to. You can't buy good furniture because you can't afford to now, right? And so those are just two. You know, there are ideas with mesh networks for communications where the device that you have connects to the next closest device, and the communication travels, you know, through the network of all of the people who have the devices. It's not controlled by a single solitary point. so you're not dependent on a phone company that can shut you down. Okay? There are spectacular ideas out there in the world, and you know, I want to spend the rest of my days focusing on how do we make this world a better place? We can certainly point out what's wrong and what's broken and what needs to be replaced. But if we put our energy into what is it that we want, we can, we will, and we must make the world a better place. But that's on us. It's not going to happen. And the people who are part of the beast system right now, if they were to make it happen, they would just plug it into the beast and use it to control us even more. We have to do it independently, in a creative way that is separate and is not controlled by any one organization, any one person, but is, you know, open for everybody's use.
So more decentralization?
As a general rule, probably. You know, there's every system you have to analyze, you know, uniquely, but when you centralize power, you generally give up freedom. And so if the decision making is closer to the source, if you get to decide, you know, when you wake up in the morning, what you're going to do that day, as opposed to going to work and doing what someone else tells you to do, you can see it immediately, you're going to be happier. Now, you still have to work, you still have to choose, you still have to put in the effort. It's not a free ride. But I think you could look at almost any study that's out there that people who feel that they have control over their day-to-day decision-making are far happier than slaves. And so we're slaves. Most people are slaves in the way that they don't recognize the prison. They don't recognize that the job or the belief structure or the educational system that they're part of actually controls them. And, you know, there are people who are just out of control. And, you know, part of the problem is to give freedom with the understanding that there will be people who abuse that freedom. And we have to have systems in place to stop the abuse of that freedom. But what we have in place now is a system that causes people to want to rebel because it's so constrictive. You can't keep people in a cage for very long. You know, some of them will rebel. And it's one thing when people rebel against their the warden of the prison that they're in because they're not supposed to be in that prison. It's another thing to have a prison where people are dangerous and they have intent to harm others. And we need to come together and control their violent nature. That's a difficult decision. Finland has probably done a better job than most countries. I'm not an expert on their systems, but they treat, you know, quote unquote, criminal activity in a different way. The bigger problem, and I can point to something like the PREP Act here in the United States, is we've made criminal activity legal by passing laws that allow corporations and people to literally get away with murder, right? I mean, corporations and stuff that did harm throughout COVID are protected from any kind of criminal civil lawsuit because the PREP Act says you can't touch them. The law has been corrupted to protect criminals. That's a system, you know, in the United States, I don't know how many, probably hundreds of millions of words make up the Code of Federal Regulations just on the federal level. No human being can comprehend that many rules. I mean, Moses came down with 10 rules, and those were flawed. And that's a whole other discussion. I'll just leave it there. People want to have that discussion. The more laws you have, the more control you have. What you need are agreements amongst people to live together. It's a social contract. It's a new social contract that we need to agree to. I didn't agree to the Constitution, okay? People in the UK didn't agree to the Magna Carta. They weren't around hundreds, almost 1,000 years ago. whatever constitution that you have in your country, maybe in South Africa it's relatively modern, maybe you were, you know, of age at the time and you agreed to it, but you didn't. It was agreed on your behalf. And maybe you agree to it and maybe it's working and maybe it isn't. But the issue really is, if we don't make a new system that functions better so that people gravitate to it, they want to use the money, they want to use that system of transportation, they want to use that system of communication, they want to put their children through that system of education, they want that better idea. If we don't build it, then we're going to be stuck in the beast system that currently exists. But if we do build and implement better ideas, people will gravitate to it, and all of the stuff that we're concerned about now will just wither and die on the vine, because we stop feeding the beast. Every time you pay a subscription or whatever to some corporate Netflix or Hulu or whatever it might be, you're feeding the beast of propaganda. Stop it. Okay? Every time you utilize a credit card, you're feeding the beast of whoever's profiting from your purchase. Stop doing it. Okay? Well, it's easier to stop something when you have a better something to go to. And unfortunately, the new systems are being built by the people who control the old system. And we need to not let that happen, because it's only going to be a tighter noose around our necks.
But who creates the new social contract? Who enforces it? And what about those who don't want to be part of it?
That's all part of it. Live your life the way you want. He who creates is the one who is supposed to control. And so none of us, we did not create our systems of government. We did not create, the vast majority of people did not create the corporate structure, the corporate hierarchy. These are new ideas that are not in the, you know, public awareness at the moment. They need to be. And so, I'll give my phone number again, 310-619-3055. You can find all my work on jamesroguski.substack.com. Reach out to me if you want to work towards a better future. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's looking like if we don't do it, it's going to get really very, very difficult. And the system that is currently in place is growing exponentially. It's already entrapped the vast majority of humanity, but there's still a better way. There's still a way to build a better future, and we need new ideas, and those will come from sources who are not currently in power. They will come from regular people who accept a thought from wherever thoughts come from, accept a new idea. If you share it and it's a good idea and you can turn it into a functional reality, if it truly is a good idea, people will join in. You can't make them, but if you have a better idea, you know, people will gravitate to it.
How can my audience follow you?
I've got about 24 websites. So, a newsocialcontract.com is one of them. But I think that what we need more than anything is for people, don't follow me, connect with me. Okay, it's not leader and follower, it's connection. So everybody already has my phone number, 310-619-3055. Send me a text message. If you're not in the US, use Signal or Telegram or WhatsApp. It's all the same phone number. You can find me that way. Let's connect and communicate. It's not follow the leader. It's come together as equals and discuss ideas and choose the ones that we think are feasible and go forward into a better and brighter future.
James Roguski, thank you for joining me in the trenches.